But you sort of accepted what had been told by the government.
I did accept it. I thought it might have been a sin of omission, i.e. they let it happen. But what happened to me was I got into the news stories about the Iraq war before we invaded, and I saw that what the president and Colin Powell were telling the UN and everyone was patently false. And I tried to stop that war by running some full-page ads back before it started. And as I was going to the anti-war protest, I met Eric Hufschmidt. And Eric had this book, Painful Questions, and he talked about explosives. And I kind of just shrugged it off, didn't think it really could have happened. And had the book and the video for like 6 months, until finally a friend of mine cajoled me into watching the video, and it was an epiphany to me. I could see very clearly in the photos and in the pictures that what we had here was a demolition by explosives, that we had had at least Building 7 and probably built Towers 1 and 2 brought down, not by the impact of the airliners, not by the fires, but by the explosives, which you can see going off as clouds of powdered concrete shoot out of the building at hundreds of miles per hour, as well as steel beams fly straight away horizontally from the building.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to bring in some new stations on board and lose some of our old stations for a short period of time. But our guest this afternoon is Mr. Timmy Walter. And, of course, he's been on the front lines of trying to get an independent investigation of what's going on. What's so interesting is that he has been bringing pressure to bear to try to get Elliot Spitzer, who is the Attorney General of the State of New York, to actually open up an independent investigation. And since this last week, for without any prior knowledge or why suddenly Elliot Spitzer announces he's going to run for the governorship. Now, he must have promises of a lot of money to run. Somebody's got to be backing him to run for the governorship. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Jimmy Walter. And Mr. Walter has been running full-page ads in the New York Times and other major newspapers across America, bringing into question, have we really been told the truth about what happened, certainly on September 11th of the year 2001? Did those buildings come down exactly as we're told, simply because the planes crashed into them, and then just sort of spontaneously, for the first time in all recorded history, why reinforced steel buildings, because they had a fire in them, for some reason just pancaked on down? And even more than that, of course, if you've ever seen the pictures of Building 7, it's obvious that Building 7, which was a block and a half away from the Twin Towers, was brought down by demolition. It came down from the bottom. No fire in all recorded history has ever taken down steel-reinforced buildings. To your knowledge, has that ever happened?
No, it has not. In fact, if you look at the pictures of Hiroshima, you can see the steel-framed buildings still standing there. The Cardigan Group tried to destroy a steel-framed building with jet fuel and could not do it. They said the temperatures achieved by jet fuel could not destroy a steel building. Fire Engineering Magazine noted that no steel building has ever been destroyed by fire before or since. The Meridian Plaza, for instance, burnt in Philadelphia for 19 hours fiercely and never collapsed. And you can see the remainder of two buildings between Building 7 and the World Trade Centers that did not collapse completely straight down like Building 7 did.
All right, but I think that most people don't understand that the buildings 3, 4, 5, and 6, it's almost as if they've been blown up. The whole centers of those buildings are gone. It's simply the periphery of the building is still standing. But that isn't what happened. We saw, at least we think we saw, what we happened on September 11th. But you were saying, you know, that what convinced you were those fact that the steel beams were flying out, you know, hundreds and hundreds of feet away from the building. Why would steel beams be flowing, going out laterally, unless you're suggesting there were explosives of some sort?
Well, of course. If you look, you can see these beams flying straight out, and you can see clouds of powdered concrete coming out with them that went all the way across the river to New Jersey eventually. There is no way you can pulverize concrete into a fine mist like that without explosives. They found melted steel in the basement of all three buildings.
How could you get melted steel down in the basement?
with explosives is the only way, because the jet fuel, most of it burnt off in the initial fireball, according to the government itself. Both the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the National Transportation Safety Board.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment when I say things come back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess this afternoon is Mr. Timmy Walter, and he's basically saying that they've actually experimentally tried to bring down a steel-reinforced building with a massive fire, and it just doesn't happen. There was one building that burnt for 19 hours uncontrollably, and of course this was a steel-reinforced building, and that building didn't come down. There's no way that a burning building is going to be able to get enough weakness in the building for this thing to happen. And as he points out, this pulverized the concrete that you saw, there's no way that you would get that without explosives. In other words, that fine dust that permeated everything. Would that be a fair statement?
Of course. There's no way when you take the energy to collapse the building that the bolts could have held hard enough to cause the concrete to pulverize and at the same time give way at the speed of gravity. If you time the fall of both buildings, you will see that both of them fall right at the free fall speed, i.e. the fall of gravity. That means if you had dropped a steel ball off the side of the building, it and the building would have hit the ground at the same time, as if there had been no resistance except air. Well, each floor collapsing would have slowed down the floors above it, so it never would have gone down that fast. It should have gone plop, 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 plop. And in fact, the firemen who were in the building and around it said they could hear the explosions going pop, 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 pop. And the seismic detectors around New York picked up these explosion signatures.
And so, really, a lot of this is known, but, of course, it's not getting out across America. It's not getting to the average individual because of the media blackout of so much of the truth of what really happened.
Well, not just the media blackout. Like, when they had me on the CNN and Fox, they intentionally let you start to talk and then cut you off with this head shaking, oh, how could this be, how could this be, when they haven't answered a single question about the many, many holes in the administration story about what happened on September 11th.
Well, that's so funny, you know, because I've been on these programs as well. And they'll ask you the question, and then when you try to answer it, they'll bring in a commercial, or they'll interrupt you, or they'll go to somebody else. And you've just got to be very rude and just say, I want to answer that question. Are you afraid to have me answer the question? But unless you've been in that position and you've been in these debates, you get on there with somebody like Geraldo, they're not going to give you a fighting chance. You just have to be you've got to be a real street fighter to be on with them.
Well, you got to have the microphone, too. I mean, like on the initial CNN one, I tried to respond, and they cut off my microphone. So, you know, they control the microphone. It's just hard to beat them.
I know. Well, but I think it's very courageous of you to go on, and especially, of course, to have done what you've done. Now, first of all, you financed the Zogby poll, didn't you? Would you like to tell our listeners about the Zogby poll in New York State and New York City that was done in August, and what you found when they begin polling the average individual, not the people that the media wants you to hear, but the average people in New York City and New York State?
Of course. We did a poll in New York State, and we found that 66% of New York City residents and like 50-some percent statewide want their 911 investigation reopened, and 50%, actually 49.3% of New Yorkers, believe members of the administration knew about the attack in advance and let it happen.
Now, what was the percentage of people in New York again?
40% statewide and 49% in the city of New York believe that members of the administration knew about the attack in advance and let it happen.
And, of course, we're not hearing about that. I've read about it on the Internet, but the average individual doesn't realize that the people of New York don't believe what the government is telling them. Now, you, of course, have been trying to get an independent investigation back there. You were hoping to get Elliot Spitzer to open that. And for our listeners out there, Elliot Spitzer is the Attorney General of the state of New York. But somebody obviously must have promised to back him if he'd run for governor. And is there some concern on your part that if he's going to run for governor, he's going to back away from opening up an investigation?
Well, I think you mentioned it earlier before. They have to have lots and lots of money and support. It can go either way. He can either look at the 911 thing as his ticket to the governorship, or he can look at it as a hot potato that a person who's trying to run towards the center or look like they're in the center doesn't want to touch. The big problem, however, that we found out is that Elliot Spitzer cannot open a murder investigation. Only the district attorney of the borough of Manhattan can do that, and so far we've heard not a thing out of him.
I see. So have you tried to contact him or any way?
Carl Schwartz has contacted him, and we've had people in New York City with 911truth.org and Avenging Angels try to contact him, but they say this guy, who's the district attorney, doesn't do anything unusual. He's not the type. When asked, he just said the federal agents are investigating it. We're not going to.
Well, I would think that, of course, he would want to try to get to the truth, unless, of course, he has certainly been bought off. That would be the thing you would wonder. Certainly, it is his responsibility. Murder, mass murder, is not a federal responsibility. It is the responsibility of the community and the state in which that murder takes place.
That's correct. And so far, we have seen nothing. But there's more than that. There was the pollution on the White House's Council on the Environment modified the EPA warnings about the deadly dust that was in the air following the collapse of those buildings and forced rescue workers and firemen not to wear their masks so they wouldn't scare the other people going to work. And the fact of the matter is that 14 rescue dogs have died. Half of the firefighters can't go back to work. Half of the cleanup crew have serious respiratory problems. And this has nothing to do with 19 hijackers. This has to do with the White House modifying a warning by the EPA, and that is in the EPA Inspector General's report, which you can get at the EPA website.
Okay, fine. So that's the EPA website, Inspector General's report. Well, let's look at that a little bit more. Why are the people having so much respiratory problem? Why did the dogs die? What's the basis for the real health problems that are there? And who is responsible for modifying the EPA recommendations that, of course, they take precautions to protect themselves? So, first of all, what's the basis of the problem?
Well, first of all, there was 10 tons of asbestos in one building alone. There was enough mercury in the fluorescent light bulbs to contaminate 2,500 city blocks. There was radioactive activium, I probably mispronounced that, that was in all of the smoke detectors. And there was vanadium that was in all of the building materials. They measured the vanadium, and it was the highest level ever recorded. Yet the government told the people of New York City, some of the richest people in the world, to go back to Wall Street and go to work.
Well, of course, were any of the people in the surrounding buildings ill from being exposed to it? Was it primarily the people who were there working at Ground Zero?
Well, this superfine powder went everywhere. They even had stacks of it over in New Jersey. They told people, well, the dust is especially thick, wear long pants. They didn't even tell them to wear masks or anything. So this fine dust was all over southern Manhattan and spread all the way over to New Jersey as well. So it was quite spread. They had, if you look at the pictures, you can see it's like a flower sitting on top of the cars and everything, and it's fine, fine powder everywhere.
And, of course, the thing is that anybody who's ever seen a building come down with demolition, with explosives, they will see that dust, but it's coming from where the dust, where the explosives are, not from where the building is collapsing.
Exactly. And again, you cannot pull, if you've ever taken a sledgehammer to concrete, or like when they have the earthquakes and the interstates fell, you didn't see anything pulverized into pine powder. You see cracks and chunks and stuff. But to pulverize that stuff into fine powder, you'd have to, first of all, have a resistance strong enough, and the bolts were giving way, so you didn't have that. And then you'd have to have a force great enough to do that. And the weight of those buildings just didn't have enough energy to do that.
Now, one of the things you pointed out is that the top of one of the buildings really fell off. Wasn't that the case?
Absolutely. It fell off into building 4, so there was none of this weight on top of it to cause a continuing crush, as the pancake theory alleges.
I see, that's never really brought out. In fact, the pictures we saw didn't show that aspect of it. The only thing is in Eric's book, which I think is an excellent, excellent one, and if anybody that wants to know how to get it, why, we'll be glad to tell them how. In Eric's book, you can actually see the top of one of those buildings tilting sharply to one side. Now, there's no way that would then pull itself back up again, as we've been led to believe.
No, and also the other side of that building where they had no weight on it at all. So there was no reason for that side, i.e. the side opposite to which the top fell, to collapse at all. Furthermore, all of the fires and accidents or hits by airplanes were off-center. That means that, if anything, they should have fallen over like that one building did, not have collapsed straight down.
And then, of course, wasn't there evidence of some explosives at a lower level? Weren't there some pictures that showed some explosions down low?
Of course. As the building collapses, even in those buildings, photos you're talking about, you can see clouds of smoke coming out of floors that are 2 and 3 floors below the actual crushing level of supposedly the top.
And I think that's really what's so important. You need to see those pictures. You need to see the video, which I think Eric did an excellent job on. And you need to understand that they've told us one thing, but are they telling us the truth? You remember, the government kept saying, why, of course, Agent Orange in Vietnam did no harm, and no harm at all. And 20 years later, oh, yes, 40 years later, yes, of course, it did harm. And then, of course, we see the same thing today. Oh, of course, after the first Gulf War. Oh, none of our men were exposed to chemical. None of them were. I mean, there was no poison gas there, not at all. Well, maybe a few were exposed, maybe a few hundred, a few thousand. Eventually, it was over 100,000. They simply lied. If they'd lie about that, what else would they lie about? And, of course, could anybody really come forward and say, this was allowed to happen, that they actively brought Building 7 down? We're going to talk about Building 7 and a lot of other things when we come back. Our guest this evening is Mr. Jimmy Walter. He's in New York City right at the present time, but welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Another of our fascinating 4 tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Jimmy Walter. We're talking about what really happened on 911. And, of course, one of the things that nobody wants to talk about is Building 7, which was, of course, a block and a half away from Twin Towers. It was completely separated by Buildings 4, 5, and 6. And, of course, we're told that there were some fires in the building. But if you've seen the pictures of that building coming down, it's obviously there was demolition at the base, and they simply brought that building down. So as all the buildings there in the World Trade Center were destroyed, but the most amazing thing is none of the surrounding buildings were destroyed or injured at all. Why would that be? But the big question is, what do we know about Building 7 coming down? Certainly there apparently were fires in the building. We don't know how they started. Why the diesel that was stored there would, of course, have caught fire in the first place. But diesel doesn't bring down buildings. Would you like to pick up that story?
Sure. Like I said earlier, the Cardigan Group tried to bring down steel buildings with jet fuel and diesel fuel and could not do it. This temperature for jet fuel or diesel fuel, the maximum temperature is 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And that, if it has perfectly oxygenated in a perfectly blue flame. We had black smoke coming out of both buildings, and only a little bit of smoke coming out of Building 7. Remember now, the fuel, if they had this massive fuel oil fire in the building, how come the Federal Emergency Management Agency said they have no idea what brought the buildings down, yet all the pundits in the newspapers seem to be publishing that it was fuel oil? There is a big disconnect between the actual evidence and what the government is saying through its agencies and what the people in the newspapers are saying. There is no mention of the fuel oil or the diesel fuel bringing down Building 7 at all in either the 911 Commission report or in the FEMA report.
And, of course, there is the video that's put out by Dave Ann Kleiss called In Plain Sight. And, of course, you'll actually see the explosion starts at the bases. You see the pulverized dust coming out from the explosives, and then the whole building simply collapses. Now, there's no instance in all history where anything like that has happened, and yet it happened to Building 7. And didn't Mr. Silverstein, who ran the building, or owned the building, say something about he'd given permission to pull the building?
In the film America Rebuilds, Larry Silverstein, leaseholder, says that he told the New York Fire Department to pull the building. Well, pull the building is an industry-specific term in the demolition industry, meaning to bring the building down with explosives. But the New York Fire Department doesn't do that kind of work. That's all done by special companies like that Red Deer company that does oil wells. It's a company called Construction Demolition. It takes weeks, even months, to plan to bring down a building with explosives.
And yet, of course, it happened on the same evening. And so it almost would appear that maybe somebody was planning this long ahead of time. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling us on a cell phone. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question about the steel, again, that was hauled away, as reported in the news media, in the days following and the week following. And what they said was that this, there was a bit of a problem because the mafia seemed to be making off with the steel. And wouldn't you know it, that steel was out of the country just before anybody could even get a look at what might have been evidence of explosives on the ends of the beams. 1 and 2 years later, there were reports of, isn't it how so wonderful the way this steel ended up in Thailand and all different places far away being reused in other things.
Well, let's get
I also wondered what Mr. Keurig's role might have been in all this.
Talking about
the nominee, Bush's nominee for Homeland Security.
All right, let's get to Mr. Walters' remarks on. Mike is bringing up the fact that certainly the steel was hauled away. In fact, nobody was really allowed to go in and examine the crime scene.
Actually, some of the steel was hauled away before any investigators looked, and all of it was destroyed illegally. The editor of Fire Engineering, the Firefighters magazine, went through all the regulations and can find nowhere where you were allowed to destroy the evidence from a disaster like this. It's kept for decades to be looked at. The same thing for the airplanes. If you've seen any other airplane crash, they take all the pieces back and reconstruct it, and they show you the big hangar where all the pieces are laid out and everything. This was not done for any of the planes at all for 911. All of the parts, everything was illegally destroyed, including the steel and the other parts. The survivors of the people who died there are really upset because all of this fine ash, which contained computers and people and desks and everything else, was taken to the live kill landfill in New Jersey or wherever it is, maybe New York, and dumped there. And the people are very upset that the remains of their loved ones are in this live kill dump out in the middle of New York Harbor.
Okay, and what was your other point, Mike?
Well, what might Mr. Keurig's role have been all this?
All right, Mr. Keurig was
to the police commissioner, or I'm not sure.
All right, we're gonna have to pick that up afterwards.
Okay.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention we do carry the Berkey products, the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light water filters, and if you, of course, want better tasting water, this is a wonderful way to get them. They're simply gravity filters, but the Big Berkey's been around for 150 years. The Berkey Light, relatively new, but the Big Berkey, of course, has ceramic filters packed with activated carbon that last for a good long while. The Berkey Light filters do even a better job, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. But either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light can be equipped with special post filters to take out fluoride. And believe me, they're putting fluoride into water all across America. And if you live in an area of fluoridated water, get it out because it affects fertility, testosterone level, lowers the IQ. It has an impact as far as carcinogenic. It destroys the stability of your bones. It affects your entire endocrine system. They know exactly what this is. Get the fluoride out of your water. Call 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We still have Mike hanging on here. Our guest this afternoon is Jimmy Walter, and we're talking about Mr. Carrick, Mr. Carrick, who was apparently the man who was selected to be in charge of Homeland Security's not accepting the post or not going to have his name put in. But he was, I think, the chief of police there. Do you know anything at all about Mr. Carrick?
Unfortunately, I do not know his role in this at all.
All right, Mike, I hope that answers your question.
Well, my point, my idea is that I believe he was second in command in the NYPD at the time, and therefore probably very involved in the cover-up, he must have been, and probably a great choice as the head of the Homeland Security.
Well, Ben, we can't really say. He may not know any more than the average person in New York. We just have to wait and see.
That's a tough one, but can I ask one more?
All right, one.
If your guest knows anything about the explosions in the FBI offices in the South Tower,
all right,
in the hour or so before the first before the planes hit,
I think it was actually after the planes had hit. But do you know anything at all? I think it was at the 24th, 26th floor, right? That apparently there were some explosives in those lower offices. Did you hear that story?
No, I haven't heard that one at all.
All right, fine. Okay, Mike, thanks so much.
I'll get a coffee off.
Okay, fine.
What I did hear was that when the firemen first entered the towers, that the ground floor windows were all blown out, as if they were blown out by explosives. I mean, you can see that in the film 9-1-1, a commemorative filmmaker's edition.
Commemorative filmmaker's edition. What is that now?
That's a movie put out by two firemen who happened to be the only ones to record the impact of the first airliner. And in it, they have pictures of the firemen entering one of the World Trade Towers after the first hit. And the ground floor windows are all blown out in the lobby, as if by explosives. Some sort of explosion had already gone off.
I see. Is that video readily available?
Oh, yeah. You can get that down at Blockbusters to rent, or you can buy it on the Internet easily.
And you call it the commemorative film?
9-1-1, the filmmaker's commemorative edition.
Filmmaker's commemorative edition. Okay, fine. Ben, did you have a quick question?
Yes, I do, and I hope I can get this question out. We see that Mr. Bush is aggressively trying to destroy Social Security.
Ben,
I'm talking about the 9/11.
Okay, go ahead.
Why are we so willing to accept this dog and pony show they call the 9/11, where Mr. Cheney and Mr. Bush did not testify under oath like Mr. Clinton had to? They're investigating the vote in Ohio in the American Ukraine. Why is that not in the news?
All right,
fine. Why are they so willing to accept this 9/11 lie?
All right, fine. Thank you, Ben. Let's ask the question. Ben is calling from Salinas. He wants to know why the people are so willing to accept this when they do question other things that are going on.
Well, I think it has to do with the authority figures. Before, we had government prosecutors and everybody saying, oh, this is happening, and so everybody wanted to have an investigation. Here we have people saying, oh, it was 19 Arabs, and if you say it was anybody else, you're a traitor. And so we have no standard bearer, no bloody pulpit. The newspapers, the president, the Congress, the Democrats, no one is hollering for a real investigation.
Okay, and of course we've had two investigations, but actually both of these were restricted in what they could do. Weren't they quite effectively blocked? In fact, the 9-1-1 commission, didn't the president actually insist on appointing the chairman of that commission that was going to investigate him? How could the president appoint the man who was going to investigate him?
Well, it's easy if you don't want to be investigated, but the fact of the matter is that the chief of staff was a close personal friend of Condi Rice, and the 9-1-1 commission was a unanimous report. That means that if any member of the commission objected to any fact, it was automatically thrown out without question, and none of the other members could say a word about it. So it was hardly an open and fair investigative report.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And our guest is Mr. Jimmy Walter, and what Mr. Walter is trying to do by publishing full-page articles in the New York Times and other major publications and magazines, and then, of course, some 2,800 television advertisements across America. I haven't seen any of them, but whereabouts have those 2,800 television spots been shown?
Well, they were all shown in New York City. I didn't have enough money to saturate the United States, but I had enough money to do a saturation ad campaign in New York City, and the TV ads finally got some response. Once people started looking at the pictures of Building 7 collapsed and then that controlled demolition in the advertisement, they started to ask the questions. It took the video to do it. I figured that the Attorney General of New York and the District Attorney were the people who had to file the charges, and the residents of New York City are their constituency. So I figured that was the best place to run the ads.
All right, fine. And so you run them. Now, do we have any idea what's happened? Have you run another Zogby poll or general poll to find out what's happened?
We're going to probably do that right after the first of the year. We think this is a very bad time because of Christmas to try to do something like that.
All right, fine. Well, certainly the New York Times did not give you much of a play. I only sort of stumbled across your name in a very small article there in the New York Times, which was not very complimentary of you.
Well, they tried to do this fair amount, so they present your view and the other, but they didn't give me a chance to reply to Corbett, who was the administration's flunky who claimed that jet fuel brought down Building 7, when it's not in the FEMA.
How could the jet fuel bring down 7? That was diesel fuel that was in the building.
They're basically the same. Diesel and jet fuel are really only kerosene, and diesel fuel is just a grade below kerosene. So neither one could have done it.
Right. Of course, they keep saying it over and over again. As somebody once said, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough and frequently enough, people will believe. And I think it's amazing that certainly probably by now well over 50% of the people in New York are really seriously questioning what happened that morning. Now, what sort of response are you getting from people across America to your ads and to your television spots?
Well, we get two types usually. We get people who love us and people who call us traitors and want to kill us and do all sorts of other things. We do get the people in the middle. We've gotten some engineers. We've gotten quite a few firemen and policemen who've asked for the books, and we are sending out free copies of the books and videos to firemen, policemen, prosecutors, judges, and elected officials anywhere in the United States who wants one. Just go to our website, reopen911.org, and send us an email about that, and we will send you a free set for any fire department, police department, prosecutor, judge, or elected official.
All right, fine. Now let's get your telephone number. Let's get your website out there.
Reopen911.org, and the phone number is 888-INVESTIGATE, 888-INVESTIGATE, or reopen911.org, O-R-G.
All right, reopen
Reopen911.org.
Reopen911.org. And somebody had called in, and they wanted to know what the chemicals were in the dust you had mentioned before. Would you like to repeat that?
Sure. There was 10 tons of asbestos that came out of one building alone. There was enough mercury in the fluorescent tubes to contaminate 2,500 city blocks. There was huge amounts of radioactive actinium-241 in the smoke detectors, and there were huge amounts of vanadium in all of the building materials that was pulverized into dust that was higher than ever recorded on the face of the earth, including at volcanoes in the burning Kuwait oil fields. And yet, the President of the United States, Council on the Environment, told the people of New York it was safe to go back to work.
All right, fine. Well, of course, an awful lot of them are permanently will have permanent disabilities as a result of that. Isn't that true?
They already do. The people already half of the cleanup crew is got serious respiratory problems, and half of the firefighters cannot work. And I told you earlier, 14 of the rescue dogs have died.
Well, let's go to Bart, who's calling from Carmel. That's really a frightening statistics. And the fact that we're not hearing this, I had read the New York Times that said that some of the people had had respiratory problems, but that half of them were disabled. That certainly is being very carefully kept from the American people. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. You're a great man, sir. Thank you for the work you're doing. You may have already addressed this question, but if you could kindly speak to the issue of the underwriter's lab scientist who recently came out with the statement that it's not possible for jet fuel to burn hot enough to do this damage to the tower, and then was promptly fired for coming out with that statement. If you could speak to that, I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
All right, fine. Thank you. What was the background? I seem to recall something about that.
Happened a couple of weeks ago. One of the chief engineers for Underwriters Laboratory came out and said they had tested the steel, the jet fuel, and there was no way that the jet fuel could have done this to the steel. And he was almost immediately fired for telling the people the truth. The fact is that any of the experts in fire say the fire couldn't have done it, and any of the experts on impact say the impact couldn't have done it. And you'd have the newspapers saying, oh, it was both, when neither of these people agree.
All right, of course, if it was not the fire and it was not the impact, then you're suggesting it was explosives. How could they possibly have gotten explosives into those buildings?
The security firm was hired by Larry Silverstein 6 months before the buildings were attacked, and the owner runner of the security firm was President Bush's brother. Now, if you go into any of these modern office buildings, they have these false ceilings. I'm kind of sick today. I apologize. They have false ceilings, the ceiling tiles. You can go up there and put anything you want in there, and also the elevator shafts. What the federal, the 911 commission report left out in all of the public reports is that the center of the building was not only the elevator shaft, but 47 core columns to keep.
Are you with us?
And they would have had to put explosives on these core columns in order to cause the buildings to collapse. That was done probably, again, by the security staff after hours. There were numerous reports of people working on the elevators and fire drills and emergency drills in the weeks before the attack. And we can only assume that the security staff had to be in on it.
All right, fine. Well, of course, it would take a fair number of people to be involved in that. And then people like to say, well, that could never, you could never get, 10 or 20 or 30 people involved in a conspiracy like that. And I would like to suggest that, well, we believe that 19 Arabs came to this country, and of course, they conspired, and they seized four airplanes, and they just happened to seize airplanes. There weren't very many people on, and they happened to do it on the very, very same day that they had all their military exercises. And then this country, this amazing country that we have, we had absolutely no defense that day, no planes in the air. Suddenly, for that one day, while the batteries on the Pentagon weren't working, and they were able, of course, to carry out this amazing, amazing attack on America. If you believe in that conspiracy, I think that's a lot harder to believe in than, of course, the scenario we're talking about. Let's talk a little bit about the Pentagon, because, there was a Frenchman who came up with a book who said this was not this major airliner that hit the plane, hit the Pentagon, because the hole wasn't big enough. And, of course, all of the records of that building of the plane would not just have simply disintegrated, which we're told it all disintegrated, even the bodies all disintegrated.
Plus, they won't show us the films from the security cameras that would have shown clearly what the thing was. Doctor, I'm sorry, I am throwing up. I'm
okay,
going
well, no,
to
all right.
Back off today. I apologize.
No, that's all right. That's okay. You go. You take good care of yourself. We'll talk to you later.
And you keep up your good work, and thanks.
God bless you. Thanks so very much. Well, let's go to Larry, who's calling from Paso Robles. Hi, how you doing, Larry?
Fine, how are you, Dr.
I'm doing fine.
Good. My question was, maybe I missed the information somewhere, but how did the diesel fuel ended up in Building 7?
Well, basically, this was used, had been set up, they set up a command center for Mayor Giuliani at the time when 911 was coming, and they figured there might be riots or something. So up on, I think it was the 21st floor of the building, they established a command center. And so what did they do in their wisdom? They put in these massive diesel tanks so that they can generate electricity, so that they can supervise what's going on in the city from this command center on the 21st floor. I mean, logically, if you're going to have a command center, you'd want it in a basement someplace. Maybe it was long-term planning. They knew this was coming. I don't know. But under any circumstances, they had massive amounts of diesel up on the 21st floor and then down in the basement. And we're told that somehow, spontaneously, from a block and a half away when they have these collisions, suddenly this diesel fuel all catches fire. We have no idea how it caught fire. And we have no idea, of course, how the fire spread from the 21st floor down into the basement. But be that as it may, there is no way that that diesel fuel burning there caused the pulverization. And if you've ever seen the pictures in there, that in plain sight video, the pulverization all around the periphery of the building, you know, that suddenly you see the sheet of pulverized cement is shooting out, and then the building comes down. Sure looks like a planned demolition, if I've ever seen one. And if you've seen pictures, and I know you have, Larry, I think we've all seen them on television, that was a planned demolition. How could they possibly, you know, have gotten those explosives in that quickly after the attack? Well, obviously, they were there before the attack.
Now, was there a video that the gentleman produced, that the guest produced?
I beg pardon?
Was there a video that your gentleman, the guest, did?
No, my guest was a man named Jimmy Walter, who's actually put out millions and millions of his own money, to run ads and to run full-page advertisement. The video we're talking about is called In Plain Sight. It's in plain sight. It's put out by Dave von Kleist, and we may probably have an extra copy around if you want to get one. It's an excellent video, and we're not ordinarily carrying it, but I think we probably have one if you want to get it. You can always give us a call off the air, Larry.
All right.
Okay, anything else you'd like to ask?
No, thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, I think the important thing, ladies and gentlemen, is they lied to us. 911 was used as a justification to get us into a war with Iraq. Now, why are we in Iraq? Well, because Saddam Hussein was a very evil man. And Saddam Hussein was killing his people and was torturing the people of Iraq. Now, of course, we've gone over there, we've gotten rid of Saddam, and we're killing the people of Iraq, and we're torturing the Iraqis. So you can see, of course, we have the moral position that he was just totally evil. So we've got a real problem, because what we are doing is turning the entire Islamic world against us. And this is being done, I do not believe, by accident. I think it's being done by intention. There was no reason for the Pentagon to release those pictures of what happened to Abu Ghraib to the media. They could have told them not to show them. Instead, that they released them to the whole world. Why? To inflame the Islamic world against us. Going into Iraq has turned the entire Islamic world against us. You see, how do you get an enemy for World War III? Why, we have created the best enemy, why we possibly could. We started out by toppling the Shah of Iran and bringing the Ayatollah Khomeini to power, and then, of course, we financed the Mujahideen. Osama bin Laden had been working for the CIA for many, many years. We can't tell the American people that. After all, they might begin to suspect that nothing is as it appears to be. Well, we're out of time, but we ask you, of course, to hang on. We'll be back here in just a moment as we explore more of these incredible things that are going on. We hope that you will question everything that's been said. Go to my website at RadioLiberty.com. Go to Jimmy Walter's website. And, of course, do everything we can to insist on an independent examination, because if we don't, more and more Bowries will die for nothing in Iraq.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes, And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a few of the books we have on 911. We have a book called Osama's Revenge by Paul Williams, and it really records all of the statements that Osama made starting back in 1996 when he declared war on the United States. Redeclared war in 1998, and of course George Tenet, the head of our CIA, retaliated, declaring war on Osama bin Laden. And yet, on at least 11 different instances when we could have taken out Osama bin Laden, the government refused to. And even Bill Clinton, in his book, and certainly in his appearances on 60 Minutes, said twice told this government, to the CIA, to go out and to kill him, capture him or kill him, and the CIA refused to carry out the president's directive. Now, why do you think that happened? And then, of course, we went to war. Everybody knows after 9/11, we went to war in Afghanistan against the Taliban. But the trouble is, if you read the staff committee report of the 911 commission, which we have the pages of, which are never discussed by the controlled media, why the Taliban pleaded with Osama not to attack the United States. The leaders of Al-Qaeda, most of them, opposed the attack on the United States. The only one, of course, who wanted it was Osama bin Laden, who, of course, had worked for the CIA for many, many years. That's covered in a book called Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, written by a professor back at, I think, Cornell at Columbia University. And, of course, we go to war with Afghanistan, and we never try to get Osama bin Laden. If you doubt that, we have a clipping out of the Washington Times, October 7th, 2001, high official saying, "We're not going to try to get Osama bin Laden. We're not going to war to get Osama bin Laden. If we got Osama bin Laden, how would we ever justify the war? How would we ever justify the war?" Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I was just telling our listeners locally that we have a clipping out of the Washington Times, October 7th, 2001. This is a little less than 4 weeks after the 911 attack. We're already massing our troops for the attack on Afghanistan. A high government official, we make some remark off the record, "We're not going to try to get Osama bin Laden. We're not going to war with Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden. If we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify the war?" Now, if you question what I'm saying, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the clipping. 1-800-544-8927. So if we didn't really go to war to get Osama bin Laden, why did we go to war with Afghanistan? To justify going to war with Iraq. Why did we go to war with Iraq? Why? So we could antagonize the Muslim world and bring us into World War III. This is what it's really all about, ladies and gentlemen. I was in Europe after the Second World War as a medical officer. I saw the rubble of the great cities of Europe. And I fear we're going to see the rubble of the great cities of America. Unless the American people have the courage to take a stand and demand we get the truth, to learn if what we're saying is indeed the truth. But there is a plan. And, of course, they intend to go after Iran. They intend to go after Syria. They intend to go after Saudi Arabia. They intend to create an American empire. And if you doubt that, you need to go to their website, which is newamericancentury.org. That's the project for the new American century. Who's it? See, in this little cabal that schemed and planned this Iraqi war long beforehand, 1,000 American boys have died. Well, a lot more than that. But, of course, they keep changing how they come up with the figures. Well, they died in casualty. Well, what happens if your truck rolled over? Well, that wasn't necessarily in combat. Oh, we're not going to count you. We're not going to count all the boys who've died over in Afghanistan. We're not going to count the 20,000 of our boys have been wounded, and thousands more, 10,000 or more, have other bizarre diseases. that are very, very similar to the Gulf War illness. You know that 67% of the British troops who fought in the first Gulf War have this Gulf War illness. 47% of the troops that come from Camp One unit in Kansas. I think almost 65% from New England from the first Gulf War. A chronic illness, and gee, the government has no idea how they got it. They were simply victims of some crass experiments that were carried out on our servicemen. You see, they really look upon them as cannon fodder. And if you don't believe that, you need to read Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society. And we quote from him in my latest newsletter. We'll be glad to send you a copy of that. That's on how they're poisoning the American people. Poisoning the American people? Yeah, you'll want to get our latest newsletter. That's the November newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And if you'd like that quotation from Bertrand Russell, we'd be glad to send that to you. Just ask for the cannon fodder quotation. We'll be glad to get that to you. That's what they really think. That's what Henry Kissinger thinks. Our men are stupid, dumb animals to use for public foreign policy. That comes from page 194 of his book, the Woodward and Bernstein's book, entitled The Final Days, page 194. American servicemen are stupid, dumb animals. That's what our leaders really think. What are you going to get angry? Are you going to just simply sit back and till it's your son or daughter that's sent over there? Till our cities are in rubble as well? We're dealing with organized evil. We ask you to at least check our facts. Our syllabus, Iraq the Untold Story, our video, Iraq the Untold Story, tells you the story of all the wars of the last century. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will give you information you won't get elsewhere. My book, certainly our website, RadioLiberty.com, pull down our newsletters, check out the newsletters. If you want the documentation, we have the documentation for everything we say. And then, of course, if you decide that there's a problem, do you have the courage to take a stand now to try to save this wonderful nation we have for generations unborn? Or are you going to sit back and just do nothing and as we lose America, as we lose the freedom we've had? Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. Please pray for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.